Oh, that's awesome, and what an appropriate song today, Healing Rain. We have had so much healing rain, haven't we? We are all healed up. But no, that's a song that Coach Chapman asked for this morning because it was a very significant song in his journey through the loss of his dad. It was a song that really healed and helped their family. Ryan's going to talk about that today. He's going to share, and his family through video is going to share with us today the journey that they went through and how God used the crisis to bring about something very positive in the spiritual development of their life. I know this year, it's been 2 years ago that this is my second Father's Day without my dad. I know many of you have lost a father either early in life or later in life. Some of you have lost children, actually. And sometimes when we come to Father's Day, we go, wow, I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to walk through this. But God can take the crises in life, and he can use them to cause us to grow and to plant seed in the lives of others that brings about a grand spiritual harvest. And that's what we're talking about today. We're sharing a story and walking you through it, and we're going to show a video here in just a second, and then Ryan and I, in sort of an interview kind of format, are going to talk about his process and as a 19-year-old young man, how he processed through the loss of his father and what that actually was the catalyst that propelled him into his current world. So we'll watch for just a moment.
My husband and I were both approaching our 48th birthdays. We had been married almost 25 years.
I was 22 years old.
I was 19 when my dad got sick. It was 2006. He was working out at Club 47 when he just didn't feel right, went on a walk with my mom and went into a grand mal seizure.
Life as we knew it kind of blindsided us when my husband had a grand mal seizure and went down, and we found out that he had not one, but two very aggressive brain cancers and would be battling for the next year and a half. A very difficult battle.
At that point in my walk with Jesus, I was so young, and so my reaction when Dad got sick, I just put my head down and said there was no option but just to fight with everything he had.
My initial emotional reaction to it was devastation. I always knew my dad as like this really strong, capable, fun-loving guy. And suddenly none of those things could be really true anymore.
Just plain disbelief. I was very upset, cried a lot, yelled at God, why is this happening to us? I felt it was very unfair. Sid and I went to church together, we prayed together. But it became very clear, very fast, that my husband was instead choosing a different path. He was choosing to believe that God had a plan for all of us.
This was something that I knew we were going to stick by God, and we were going to, with God, we were going to get through it.
I think what I remember most now, and I think of most, was community, the people that came around us and that loved on us and that brought us food and that made us laugh and went on walks with us. And I remember a lot of laughter.
I remember, to be honest, I remember having a lot of fun. Every place we went, we brought friends, we had board games, we had card games, and we were playing pranks on each other in hospital rooms. I just remember fun, and then I remember exhaustion. I remember literally like falling asleep in any hospital chair, uncomfortable waiting area, in car rides, we were driving to Libertyville to see specialists. We were driving to Northern Illinois to see specialists at Cancer Treatment Center of America. And I just remember being tired.
Sid's strength continued to amaze all of us. Our family became stronger than ever as we confronted the doctors and the decisions that had to be made. We felt God's unwavering presence in our lives day after day.
I see it in the joy of the people that came around us, and even in the grieving. I mean, I remember one moment, like, crying in the bathroom after his diagnosis, and I remember my grandma and grandpa and my uncle's faces right there with us, and I think that that was like the comfort of God in that moment.
By experiencing God's glory during some of those darkest hours, I've learned not to second guess God's wisdom. Don't think for a minute that this was ever easy. Since Sid's death, God has continued to challenge me, to challenge my family. But I think we've all learned to better let God take the lead and to try to do better at listening and watching for those signs from Him.
The presence of people communicated the presence of God, because it was joy, or it was peace, or it was kindness, these parts that we know to be true of God. I think I also see the presence of God a lot throughout his sickness in my brother. The way that he showed up and sat with Dad in ways that I couldn't, because I didn't have like the peace of God at that moment, you know? I just had what I could do, and he did. And so he came and he would sit with Dad like all night long, or play his guitar or pray with him or things like that. That was so much Jesus, because in my own humanity, I could never do that. You know, it was too hard. It was too scary. But he could, because God could. That was really cool.
I see God in my wife, in my mom, in my sister. Now I see him in my boys, and looking at where he was at through Dad's sickness and all the things, I just see him at work in our lives, and it put a huge roadblock in our way that we had to go through, and it stopped us in our tracks of kind of the trajectory of life that we were on. And all of us have taken a different route now, and seeking God has been the forefront. I mean, that's been everything to us now.
I found it.
That was rough. I did not. Oh, man.
I
said yes
video.
To this. You know?
you hadn't seen the video.
I hadn't seen the video.
Yeah, so
and
he's
Julia's
he's
healing rain. Whew. That got it. That got it going.
All right.
And me and Dad stood right there in that second row, and I put my arm around him during that song. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good stuff. It's good stuff to remember the good things. Remember how God has worked in your life and how he's brought you to where you are through all of that. And I think that's what we really want to talk about today and share. I mean, you know, you see God's hand moving through all of it. Can you elaborate any more about that, how you saw God's hand?
Yeah.
Even in the desperate moments, how you saw God there.
Yeah. Yeah, we had so much fun as a family, you know, and Dad was, he was smiles and fun, and we went fast, though, you know, like, we ate dinners at 9 p.m., you know, so, like, that was our family lifestyle, you know, and so when this came around, we all had to take a second and really, like, ask ourselves, like, where are we at, you know, and with God, And so, like I kind of said in the video, you know, we right away, it was just straight to him. Hey, we're going to pray about this. We're going to ask for healing about this. So as we grew up, you know, liking God, and as this is, I'm talking from my own, you know, experience, it made God the first thing on my mind, you know, when it came to life. And so,
yeah. So it changes your perspective.
Big
when
time.
You face eternity, it changes your perspective on how important God is in your life.
Yeah.
So in the process of walking through the grief, what has been your process since your dad's passing? What's been your process that you could encourage others to do as they walk through grief or in the middle of a crisis right now? Right. They may be in the middle of one of those crises. How do you walk through that?
Yeah, I would say I've shared a little bit, you know, with you guys before. At 19, I mean, I'm going to be honest, even all the way to 2015 when I had my son, my natural reaction in grief was to put my pedal to the metal, like just go as fast as I can, work as hard as I can. That's how I suppressed, have fun, go out with friends. Like, I didn't sit ever. Sitting and feeling was not something that was that's still not something that's natural to me. And that was my grief. Is in my grieving process, this is a long grieving process for me because I did not sit. I did not take time. And as soon as Sidney Joshua, little Sid, came into the picture, God put on the brakes, man. And he said it's time to feel what the love of a father.
Yeah. Yeah, and so just backing up just a little bit in that story, what would you encourage others to, if they're finding themselves in a crisis, if they're finding themselves in grief right now for the loss of someone in their life, what would be your recommendation? I mean, you buried it by getting so busy and so active that you wouldn't deal with it. You just look the other way. And guys, we are really good at that.
Really good.
That's our go-to mode, you know? We go out to the garage or the shed or the workplace, and we just avoid it, That'd be great. But that was sort of your first thing. But what would you recommend, especially to men who tend to be more challenged that way, what would you recommend to us?
Well, I would say, first off, New Life Church, I think we all, men, we need mentors, you know? And have people in your life that you can go to. Men, we got to be able to cry. We got to be able to show our kids how to feel, right? We got to be able to show each other how to feel. We got to walk by each other in that. I would say slow down, obviously. That's something that the Lord's been in me for the last 4 years. And so that's the strongest conviction of my heart right now in my life is to slow down. The best ways to hear God are in silence, solitude, you know? And so how are we going to hear him if we're going so fast, right? And so I would say slow down, step into something with people, right? My sister said community was so huge in feeling the presence of God. And sometimes when you're so heavy in pain or your struggle, the closest God can get to you is through a brother or sister that can share that with you, right? That peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, right? All those things can come from a brother or sister that when you're a mess, they can be God. They can be the hands and feet of God that can pour into you. And that's what I would tell you so much right now is to slow down. It's okay to feel and step into something with people that you trust, that you love, and let them help you through. Absolutely.
And then maybe you know somebody who's going through something. Yeah. What would you recommend to us? Because I think sometimes that's the most awkward thing is we have someone who's in trauma and in a crisis. And how do we as believers, how do we as friends, how do we as family, what would you recommend to us? How do we step into that and bless other people?
Yeah.
Because it's our heart. But sometimes we're really awkward at it.
Right, for sure. It's an awkward moment, for sure. If someone would come up to me and, you know, and there would probably have been times when I was a mess and they would have been like, can I pray for you? I'd be like, no, I don't want you near me, you know? I mean, like, let's get real. That's what happens when you're a mess. You don't, I mean, you want the people that are, you know, that are close to you. When someone that you love is going through something, just be with them. I had one of my best friends, Robbie Beards. He just, in that stage of my life, man, he just always was there, and he was always ready to go out to play a game, to play, get in a league, to go do this. I mean, he was a constant just support to me through just brotherhood, you know? Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything special. He just was right. He was my best friend just through it all. And it's amazing.
So just being there.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to be silent and just be present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that, just step into it and be there for people. What was the hardest moment? I mean, what was the hardest moment through it all?
I would say, I'm going to be honest, that some of the hardest stuff has been in the last 4 years. You know, when I stopped and when I slowed down, that's when God's healing can start to enter in. Because if you suppress, then you'll never feel and you never heal. And I thought, I heard it this way, that it was, if you don't put a bandage on a wound, it's always going to be a wound. If you keep on hitting it, it's always going to be a wound. But once you can stop and put a bandage on it and heal it, it's going to turn into a scar. And so I think I'm in the process. It was 2007 when Dad passed. And in the last 4 years has been when I've been able to slow down enough to try to process this even more and more into healing.
And so you've experienced probably the hardest moments in the last 4 years, actually, several years after his passing.
Emotions suck. That's why guys are terrible at it. We don't want to feel. I mean, right? We don't want to feel, but that's, man, that's where God is.
But what, okay, just leaving our script here, okay?
Script's out the window.
I know it's not something I do very often, but you're good at it.
I'm pretty good at leaving the script. Yeah,
but anyway, thinking about that, emotions, though, what do emotions do for us? Let me just talk about that for a minute. Yeah. Emotions, if we really let them do their good work in us, mm-hmm. and we let grief and we let crisis do their good work in us, it brings about compassion in our heart.
Mm, amen.
It creates a soft place for others who may be going through a crisis, through a loss, through a grief. If we cover it up and we never let it be there, then the compassion can never show through, because we'll be dealing with our own hurt if we show compassion.
Right.
If compassion in a moment, we would go back and we would see our own hurt and pain. So it's important that we deal with our hurt and pain, our crisis, so that we can share and bless and be compassionate and come from a point of healing.
Right. Amen.
And not from a point of hurt.
He's emotions don't suck. That's what he's trying to say. They're good. They're good. Okay.
I was just trying to clarify.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good.
The thing. So that's, I just had to go off script there and catch you guys up with really the editorial.
No, that was great.
He gives the, you know, the headline, and I hit it, the editorial that explains it. He gets your attention, and I explain it there. Yeah, it works really good. Well, now you have two amazing kids, and I've had the privilege of playing with them at your house and all that, and they're just too much fun. And so how has that changed everything? I mean, you talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
But how has it changed? And share that scripture with us that really got that middle name of
So Sidney, throughout Dad's sickness, we put it on shirts, we put it everywhere as our headline: be bold, be strong, you know, be bold, be courageous, you know, for the Lord your God is with you, Joshua 1:9. And so when we thought about middle names, for we knew we were naming our first kid Sid, no matter what, boy or girl, and so then Joshua came because of that scripture. We held tight to it, we're still holding tight to it. You know, and it's cool because now we're teaching Sid scripture, and you know, it's coming up in our memorization, which is great. And I got a seventh grade voice cracking up here. I'm just so y'all know. But when we had kids and when we had Sid, that began to really just show me what the love of a father was. And then I could start thinking back to all those times when my dad was a loving father to me. And it opened up my eyes even more to the love he had for me. But then it propelled me into understanding the love of God. And the love that a father can have of a child, that it doesn't matter what that child does, he just recklessly wants us just to be near him. And it doesn't matter, gosh, I ain't got words right now, but God's love for us, man. Yeah. That's what having kids showed me big time.
It really does. I think as a father, I really can concur that your love, your unconditional love for your children really imitates or is a mirror of what God has love for you. Because when you give them the instruction to do something and they say no, you go, how are we going to deal with this, right? But even though you're not really happy with the decision they may make at that moment, you love them, love them, love them, love them.
Yeah.
And God goes, you know, maybe sometimes when I've disappointed him, because I haven't always, I'm a very hesitant follower. You know, God says, well, you should do this. And I go, yeah, next year, you know. And then next year comes around, and I go, well, next year maybe we'll do that, you know. Yeah. And so I liken myself to Moses, you know, just a little bit. Nah, do that. Or Gideon, who says, well, do this, do this, do this, and then I'll go do it. But anyway, I look at that, and I wonder what God, you know, he may have been frustrated with me delaying my decision to actually do what he asked me to do.
Yeah.
But he never stopped loving me.
Right.
And that's what a dad does. He never stops loving. Never stops loving.
Right.
Even in the correction. And never stops loving. And I mean, you young parents, you know, sometimes giving a timeout is one of the hardest things you do all day. And it's not your timeout, it's their timeout. And they cry, and you want to let them out and give them a candy bar, right? It's what you want to do. You just want to go, oh, they're so cute.
Yeah.
They're crying. Don't let them go. Okay, here, have a Reese's, you know? That's what you want to do. But, yeah, you know it's the wrong thing to do. But you love them, love them, love them, love them. Even though you have to grow them up, and you have to discipline, and you have to instruct them in the ways that they should go. Train up a child the way it should go. You know, it is something. But yeah, that love of a dad, and you're experiencing that you just love, and that you... It's the love of your dad and the love of your heavenly daddy, too, who loves us just that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So as you walk through it, these moments of benefiting others, how can you take your experience and help us?
Yeah. Well, I think Romans 5 is what I cling to a ton. And Romans 5, 3-5 is, you know, suffering, so that struggle that you might be in produces perseverance. And that's when the first, I love teaching little Sid about perseverance. We have a hill at my father-in-law's house, and he's going up. He's like, Dad, it's so hard. And he like sits down halfway up the hill, and I'm like, perseverance. He's like, what? And I said, perseverance, you know, you can do it. You can get up that hill. You know, teaching perseverance, I think that's one of God's greatest lessons to me throughout this whole thing. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character, hope. And I love that message because, I mean, Paul's writing in that, it's just, we can take that every single day when we go through a hardship, when we go through a struggle, that at the end, there's always hope. We always can get through it with Jesus. I mean, that's the message of the gospel. And for this to take, you know, a hardship like this in my life to just make that pronounced to me was just so benefiting.
Yeah. So it's through the struggle
that
brought you to that, gave you character, and now hope. Now, you talked to me about how it really changed the spiritual life of your whole family. And let's talk about that just
for
a little bit. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, through it all, when it all happened, you know, this brought me to the waters of baptism, my wife to the waters of baptism, my sister to the waters of baptism. You know, all of us, again, it changed the trajectory of our whole family. You know, I'm in ministry. My sister lives in Portland, and she's moving back home here soon and pursuing a job in ministry. Putting God first in our life, I mean, he clearly had a plan in all this. And so being able to see his fingerprints through hardship is one of the greatest things that looking back into a struggle we can see, you know, we can do, is taking that hardship as, okay, I'm going to get through this. It's going to be hard, but there's a purpose in it. And so all the stories that I've been able to talk to, all the teenagers I've been able to talk to, the bond I can have with an individual as soon as they say the word cancer, but when they say that they've lost a father, I even have high schoolers that I've tried to mentor that just don't have a dad right now, and I can relate in some kind of way, whether they lost it or not, or, you know, from something else. I see God in all that, and he has convicted my heart so greatly through what we went through to be able to talk about him in struggle, to bring him up, that there's hope in struggle, that there's hope in fatherless, you know, relationships, that you don't ever have to be fatherless because of him. And so, I mean, being able to understand that that's the character that we serve, right? That's the God we serve, is not ever a finger-pointing, door-slamming father, although we all have struggled with that. That's not God. And learning that through this has made me really pursue the change of what kind of father I want to be and what kind of family we want to have. And so even in parenting with me and Jame now, it's like, okay, well, let's look to Jesus. How did he act? Let's look to God. How did he father us? How did he father so I can become a better father, so I can become a better parent? That has all happened. The trajectory got changed in 2007.
Yeah, and it moves you. So for people in crisis today, let God be in the middle of the crisis.
Yeah.
Don't push God out.
Amen.
Of the crisis. You may think, God's deserted us, God's forsaken us. Bring him into the middle of the crisis, and God can do something amazing in the middle of crisis. And he turned Brian around.
Well, and I just want to add on that real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, great.
Is that I think I just want to make sure that we all understand that when you bring God in the middle of a crisis, it doesn't mean that you come to church with a big old smile on your face and be like, God is good. Like, that's not what we mean by bringing God in the middle of a crisis. And I love that my mom said in the video, and it just made me well up. She's like, don't for a second think that it's easy. And so as I preached, I think, last time, and I talked to you when I said last time, is that when you're going through something and you put a smile on your face, it's not because everything is good. It's because you have hope in that what God's going to do.
Right.
And exactly. So it's so important to be real, to be vulnerable, to be genuine, to be authentic in your relationship. If you're having a bad day and someone wants to come talk to you, you can very kindly, in the most kindly way, I don't want to talk, and walk away. And it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
And it's okay to wrestle with God and to ask God why, and to say, you can have a mean conversation with him. He's a daddy. He's a papa that's going to love you in that conversation. So as Pastor John's saying, invite God into it. That doesn't mean put a smile on your face and suppress. That means be real. If that means that you're going to have words with God, and that's okay. Because as a father, I don't want Sid to ever lie to me. If he hates my guts right now, I want him to tell me, right? I want him to tell me about how mad he is about the situation that he's in, because I don't want anything fake. That's God, and that's what I'm learning right now.
Yeah, cool. Well, I know you've got a few things you want to say to just men today.
Yeah.
And so we're going to let you. I'm not going to say anything else, all right? And you're just going to talk to the guys today for just a little while, and then you're going to pray for us today, okay?
Yeah.
So take off and share what
he's got me sitting down. Can I stand up? Because that, like, hurts to sit in that chair. Well, we just talked about what is the main thing that we want men to know when we leave here today. And so as I always tell you, and I'll continue to tell you anytime that I'm able to have this microphone, I'm going to share with you the greatest conviction of my heart. And so as I've said the past 4 years, slowing down, seeking silence and solitude, being able to just try to learn about God and a father that he is, That is our greatest asset as dads. That's our greatest asset as men, right? Is to learn how God is. And how better to do that than to look to Jesus? Jesus came down, God in the form of a man, and showed us how to live. And so, my goodness, that is what we need to do. And there's a big thing that I feel like in this culture and inside of us, men, please, if you haven't listened to anything yet, just listen to me right now. I believe the greatest conviction of my heart is that we, our flesh wants us to be passive in life. And what that means, all right, is that passive part of life is that I believe, I feel it, and I fight it every single day, that when I know I should be pursuing my wife, I don't because of something that happened or something she said to me. Or when I know I should be spending time with my kids or like being playful or adventurous with them, I don't because I said, I had a long day. I just want to sit down. I just want to have a beer. I just want to sit in the recliner and watch the game. That's all of our natural tendency. I just want to go to the garage and focus on what I'm doing. I just want to work more hours because I'm the provider, so I got to provide. It's easy to tell ourselves all those things. We have to be intentional, and we have to fight passivity. That is it's what I'm trying to do right now in my life, is it's so easy for us men to find all the things and justify all the things to not be present. It's so easy for me to say, come up here and say after that video and after my story, live for the day, seize the day, be present. Now is the time. It's easy for me to say that, but how do you apply that? I truly believe with all my heart that you apply that by literally rejecting passivity and pursuing your passions. Do not let your passions ever sit. Be passionate about your wives, be passionate about your kids, and more importantly, be passionate about God and pursue Him because that's gonna be the life that you can live. That's the best life you can live. Amen? I mean, this is, for Him. We have to do this together. And I'm passionate about it because I truly believe with all my heart, this is where we are struggling. This is where I know when I see Ryan, gosh darn it, why did you do that? Why'd you say that? Why didn't you do this? Why? It's when I know that I cling to the flesh of passivity. And I knew that I was selfish in that moment. And I was not thinking about an eternal perspective. I was not thinking about things of the future. I was not thinking about what God has for my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray over these men today. I pray over these families today. I pray over wives and women today, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Father, that you help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and reject the flesh, Lord Jesus. Every single day, it is so hard in the mundane, in the day-to-day. Lord, I pray that you help us to seek you. Father, above all else, I pray that we're honest with you, that we wrestle with you, so, Lord, that we can have your Spirit come alive in us, Lord. It's only by your Spirit that we're going to be able to transform, that we're going to be able to change, that we're going to be able to be more like you, that we're going to be able to walk in fullness, Lord, that we're not going to have to seek anything of this world, any emptiness, any temporary highs, any cravings, Lord. It's going to be by your Spirit, Father, that we're able to live in fullness. So, Father, today I pray for every father, I pray for every man in here, Lord Jesus. I pray that they pursue you with passionate love. Lord, that they step outside their comfort zone for you, that they do not get wrapped up in anything of this world. And Lord, I just pray that their eyes are fixed on you. Father, get ready to wrestle because I know these men are ready to wrestle. And I know, Father, that they need to just seek you and be honest with you in order to take that step. Lord Jesus, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.